And I just want to release a couple words, and then we're going to. I want to release y'all to a day, two days of just rest. 2 days of rest. It's something the Lord keeps speaking to me. Amen. Thank you, Micah.
Pastor, could I
say a word? Yes, sir. You can, brother.
Whatever struggle we may be going through this morning, I think we have to continually give God permission to be in our lives.
Yes.
And then we have to expect that God may not do it the way that we would prefer to do it. But our hearts are yours. We want you.
Amen. Amen. One yes is not enough. One yes is not enough. I just want to, Lord really stirred on me during worship and all of that stuff. And I'm trying to be obedient and just flow and some new stuff God's doing in me and through me. And so, Madeline, how old are you? 12? 12. When you were up there leading in worship, and I say leading in worship, not singing songs, when you were up there leading in worship, I saw a 20-something-year-old woman, young woman up there leading in worship with young children, and not young children up there, but being a mother and having young children and just flowing in worship, and that's going to be one of your key identities as to who you are. Is that you're going to be a leader of worship in the kingdom. And what you're going to sing is you're going to sing anthems. You're not going to sing necessarily the pretty songs, cute songs and all that, but you're going to sing anthems. And anthems are declarations of this is who I am and this is where I stand and this is who my God is. And I'm declaring this to heaven. I'm declaring it to earth. I'm declaring it to every principality. I'm declaring it to myself. And it's our heart's cry. And one thing that I see in this, the worship movement that's taking place, there's a new song that's being released. I don't know if you guys have realized it or not, but there's a new song, a new sound that's being released in worship across the earth. And it is that declaration and heart's cry, and it's an anthem in nature. And it's not just let's sing a pretty happy song about. You're not going to hear all of these anthems on 93.3 because they're not cute enough or whatever for radio. Some of them you will, but a lot of them they're not going to get that. But it is a heart's cry of God. This is who we know you are. This is who we're trusting you to be, and this is what we're believing, and this is what we're standing on and declaring. And I really saw that. We were out when we were in California last month at the Bethel Conference. Three just tremendously, tremendously powerful women. Were more than that, you know. I guess I throw Melissa in there before, but the three I'm really thinking about were Stephanie Gretzinger, Amanda Cook, and Kristen DeMarco. And as they stood up, and all of them are young ladies in their 20s, and they're raising families right now, and having children and all that. But their songs are being sung all over the earth. They're being translated into languages and countries all over the earth, and all of them had a common thread. And that was the fact that all three of those young ladies, they came out of the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. they didn't come in as a big name worship team and attach themselves to Bethel Collective, because that's, you know, really what's, you know, that's what, that elevation are probably the two most powerful worship movements that are going on right now. And they didn't come at that. But they were something that were raised in that. And they started as simply, you know what, I'm going to chase after God and I'm going to go after God. And out of that was birthed the fact that they're now worldwide powerful worship leaders. So I guess I'm saying all of this as I was looking at you and leading in worship and all of that stuff. It almost took me to a place where my worship was different. It was that my worship was listening to God and see what He was saying, which we can get into that teaching's another type of worship too. But what's going to happen in you is in order for you to continue and propel where God wants you to ultimately be and all that, it's going to be birthed and raised out of a life of devotion, a life of intimacy with Him, whether it's finding the love of your life and getting married and raising babies and all of this stuff. But the incubus for all of this, the thing that's going to birth all of this anthem that you can declare from your heart, is a life of relationship with Him. It's a life of pursuit in Him and with Him. And that's just what I really saw over you. I really got messed up over you today up as you were leading in worship and everything, because I didn't say, oh, that's cute. She's such a pretty little girl, and that's awesome a 12-year-old kid could get up there. I'm serious. I saw a 25-year-old mom with two kids, and I'm not saying you're only going to have two. You may have six, but that's just what I saw, was a 25-year-old mom up there that was just a passionate lover of Jesus. And it wasn't, this is what I do because I'm good at it. It's, this is what I do because this is who I am. Okay? I just really saw that. James and Cammie, the best thing that y'all do is raise children. I'm serious. That's what you're best at. That's what you're best at. And it doesn't stop when they turn 18 or 20 and move out of the house. And I'm not saying I'm raising a Leah and Errol, but we've got the second wave that's coming through. And that's what you guys are best at. Invest the heaviest in that. And I know y'all's heart is for your kids and family, and that's a priority. But let your priority be kingdom family. Let that predicate the decisions that you make going through this thing, is how can kingdom be ushered in this, you know, that it's the DNA of our family. Okay, but that's the best thing that y'all do. And so y'all just keep investing heavily in that and keep doing that and walking that out. And that's above your creature comforts and the stuff. Oh, I want to do this and I would like to do that. You know, don't ever let it be at the expense of the thing that you do best. Okay? I've got, right now we've got 66 head of cattle on our place. And I consider one of those 66 half my herd. Y'all know which that one would be? My herd bull. Because his DNA determines everything. There is more emphasis on that one than the other 65. Because he is literally half the herd. Because what he does is he produces the seed. He produces the offspring. Because his DNA is something. That's why I pay four times as much for him as I do any other animal on the place. It's because it was so important for the DNA. And the DNA that y'all release into your children and into your grandchildren and all that, it's kingdom DNA. It's kingdom DNA. So just y'all continue, just the Lord just spoke that to me. So y'all keep doing what you're doing. Keep, and it'll be generational. Keep doing what you're doing. Okay? And it works. It works. You know, I see my grandkids come up and their favorite songs are worship songs. You know, and Zeeland's got his little flags and he's doing his flags. And half the time it's a sword, which I love because I want him to be a little warrior, but I also want him to be a little worshiper. You know, and he's out doing all of his flag stuff and everything with the worship music on. You know, he loves dancing the river and some of that stuff. And he'll do his flags with that and everything. And I totally dig that because I know God's doing a deep work in them. Already at a young age and all. So, Virgil, you and Linda, it's great having y'all with us today. I always want to honor y'all and just bless y'all because, you know, if y'all don't know who Virgil and Linda are, that was their their family on the stage. That was their grandchildren. That was their son and all of that stuff. And James started, it wasn't by accident, James started leading worship when he was a 13-year-old kid. He was standing up there just like Noah, just like Noah. So that DNA into James was not an accident. That come from you guys. And so we just want to honor y'all with that. And y'all just keep doing what y'all do. And that's do family well. That's do family well. Amen. I'm about to get tore up. I love what God's doing right now. I've been a part of a lot of different revivals, just different seasons and revivals where God has just done tremendous things in this house and the all of the stuff at the ramp in Hamilton, Alabama through the years and all of the stuff from Brownsville back in the day that you were just birthed into that time and we've seen the ripple effects of the Toronto outpouring and all of these things, and perhaps some of you it's a little bit before me, but perhaps some of you even the Jesus movement in the 70s and when God was doing all of this stuff and people ask me, they said, because right now I see revival taking place globally. We're experiencing revival globally. Y'all have heard me just kind of throw out bits and mention little things and all of that stuff, but God is doing something huge. Just the reports that I hear and the stuff that I experience and I get to go to and all of that. I heard an individual, I don't know if I've shared this with the body at all or not, but I heard an individual, and I don't know, remember the guy's name. He's very well connected with Bethel in the sense that he's, just a tight affiliation with them. But basically, he is global in the fact that he sets up prayer houses and worship houses worldwide. They've got them established in 50-something countries. He said, I am personally in 30-something countries a year. He and his family had just gotten back from Iraq when he was up speaking. He said, they were, 25 kilometers from, is it Mosul? Mosul? They were 25 kilometers from Mosul was where they were at. And they were with the Kurdish militants and all that are fighting against ISIS. And he said, guys, he said, these worship songs that we are singing, and he was referring to the stuff that's coming out of the Bethel community right now, the ones that these ladies that I was talking about, Madeline on you, that they're singing right now. He said, all of these countries where they're translating these worship songs into their languages. And he said, right now, there are hundreds of thousands of Muslims that are getting saved and accepting Jesus Christ. He said, you don't hear it in the news. It's not, you're not going to hear this on MSN or anything like that. But he said, there are hundreds of thousands of Muslims that are accepting Jesus Christ right now. And he said, they are taking these songs. He said, I sat down with a general of the, am I saying this right? The Kurdish, isn't it? The Kurdish militants. He said, I sat down with a general of the Kurdish militants, and he said, we were in camp like 25 kilometers from Mosul. And this is, things that I know the tide's kind of crumbling in on the ISIS right now in Iraq and in Syria and everything. But he said, we're sitting, he said, this general tells me, he said, we don't need your military. We don't need your guns. He said, we need your Christian musicians. He said, because every time we come in and they lead us in worship and we engage God in prayer and worship, he said, we never lose a battle. That's what this general's telling him. And he said, we want Christian musicians that will come in and help lead us in worship and help teach us how to worship. And I'm like, tell me that's not revival taking place. And I'm loving this. And just so powerful and he said it, and it's global. He said it's global, man. And here's why, and I shared this Wednesday night. I really believe that we are in a unique opportunity right now because the world systems are failing. The world systems are absolutely failing. And because the world systems that people have placed so much trust in are failing, they're turning and they're looking for answers. And they're saying, if I can't trust in this, If I can't trust in the European Union, if I can't trust in the strength of the pound or the Dow Jones Industrial or even, you know, if my government can't keep me safe, if I don't even feel like I can go to the doggone movie theater without the potential of somebody shooting the place up. I mean, that's very real even in our country. You know, they're saying we can stamp ISIS out as far as their presence in Iraq and Syria. But they said all of these attacks that I was listening to the person in charge of security for the Rio Olympics that are about to come up in just a few weeks. And he said our greatest fear is not, he said it's these individuals that come in and say, you know what, I can't, but I can kill 50 people. And he said that, and what it is the systems that protect us and prop us up and do all of these things, they're failing us. On an economic level, on a social level, on a military level, and all of this. And so globally, people are looking for something that they can put hope in, they can put trust in, they can put confidence in, that they can try to build a life in. And we all know what that answer is, right? Is Jesus Christ and His kingdom that will not fail and was without end. And I really, really, really believe, and that's why I'm so excited about right now. Not just here in Bremen, but I'm excited about right now globally because I really feel like the Lord's showing me that's what's happening. I really think that's what's happening. And I think you're going to see a turning in Europe because you look at France and all of these countries and it's like, my gosh, every day there's another terrorist attack in France or Germany or somewhere. And these nations that have been kind of like, oh, we don't need God. We're good. We got it going on. And there's been a great turning away from God in Europe over the past couple generations. Now I think there's opportunity and we're seeing that there's going to be a turning back to God because of these failed systems. All right? And our trust and our confidence is not in the systems that the world puts their trust and confidence in. So that should give you hope as a Christian. So I want to say that and encourage you in that. But just one other thing, the difference, a lot of people say, well, what's the difference in what's happening now? What's the difference in now and the Brownsville revival, you know, years ago, or the revival that we had, you know, at Victory Fellowship years ago, or what happened at the ramp for several years, or you know, you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. And I really feel like the difference is when, you know, the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. Quit trying to measure the latter rain and hope that it measures up to the former rain. All right? Quit trying to say, boy, I hope it gets to the point that it did when Brownsville was Toronto or here or stuff at Hamilton or different things. Quit trying to hope that we get back to that point because He says that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former. And that's the promise of the Lord. And what I feel like the difference is, in so many of the, at least from my perspective, in so many of these revivals and great moves of God, and they were great moves of God, and they were significant, and a lot of you are here because of those moves of God. But the difference in what is happening now, I feel like, and what happened then, is then we were blown away by what God was doing. Brett, you went to Brownsville because of what God was doing. And today, what is happening, I really feel like, is we're not necessarily, we are blown away by what God is doing, but we're more blown away by who God is. And that's the biggest difference that I feel right now. Is I have been in awe of what God was doing, but right now I'm in awe of who He is. Because I feel like that He is, you know, and maybe I misspoke this a couple weeks ago. I said I really feel like God is, you know, and I used the illustration, and I think it's in part truth as well, of the Eastern bride. She's veiled from her groom until the wedding day, and then during the wedding day, then the veil is lifted, and he can see her whole face. And I said, I feel like that's what God's doing. But God said, it's not all of that. He said, part of it is I'm removing the scales from your eyes so that you can rightly see me. Because we've had scales over our eyes and we've been blinded by the world and blinded by the stuff. We've been blinded by the American dream. We've been blinded by stuff that we thought we had to have to be happy. And a lot of times these scales over our eyes are the need for the house or for the car or for the job or for the career or for the trips and for the stuff or the status of our kids. You know, because a lot of times we're driven the way we parent our kids based on the fact that I don't want them to get left out of what all these other kids are doing and experiencing up at Harrelson County or Bremen High School or Bremen Middle School. And so we get sucked into this competition thing that I have to let my kids do everything that these Johnny's doing or my kid's going. I don't want my kid to measure up to Johnny. Okay? I don't want my kid to put his weight and his trust in a failed system. I'm not saying we don't want them to play football and wrestle and stuff like that. That's great. But not at the expense of what I was talking about and declaring over Madeline a while ago. And so what I see happening right now is this revival, this stirring, this move of God is not that we're blown away by what He's doing, but we're blown away by who He is. The thing that's really messing with me, we had baptism Wednesday night. If you wasn't here with us Wednesday night, we had baptism Wednesday night. We had between 15 and 20 people, probably about 15 people got baptized, 17, something like that. The cool thing about it was I had several people comment to me, and they're like, man, I loved what, that was so cool on the baptism. Because Brett, God gave me a specific word for everybody that came through there. And we were taking the time, I mean, it took us 45 minutes to baptize 15 people. But that was okay because it was individual, it was personal, it was real. It wasn't like, all right, come on in, let's just suck them through because we need to get out of here by 8:20 and all of this stuff. And God was giving specific words to the individuals that came through because God cares about them as unique individuals. He's like, I want what I'm doing right now is I'm walking through the crowd slowly. And in a sense, I'm leaving the 99 to get the one because I want to show myself to the one and minister to the one. I mean, just some cool stuff. You know, one of the guys, the Lord showed me abortion and miscarriage. And it wasn't physical that he and his wife or girlfriend had abortion and miscarriage, but it was a thing of, this isn't the first time that God's done something in your life. Or God's called you or God's drawn you, is it? And he was like, no, it's not. And I said, well, the Lord showed me miscarriages and he showed me abortions. And part of it was these things that God desired to do in your life. They were stopped because of miscarriage, because of people that you were surrounded with and circumstances. Part of it was abortions because you aborted this thing God wanted to do because of decisions that you made. And then, just, of course, he carried that on into that this thing that I'm wanting to do in you now is going to come full term and it's going to produce a child and just stuff like that. It's outside the box, but it's so God. It's just so cool. And here's what God wants to do right now, guys. Is God wants to speak to you individually and uniquely. This isn't just, oh, that's cool. Brother Sid's wanting to, God's starting to speak prophetically to him. God's wanting to speak to you uniquely and individually. Some of you, it will be in dreams. Some of it'll be you'll see something out there in nature or you'll see something out there in society. You might be sitting in a doggone Finding Dory movie and God speaks something new spiritual out of that. And God will start speaking to you in a unique and individual way. The thing is let's get our frequency where we're tuned in to see Him and to hear Him and let Him speak to us. And let it go deep in here. And then have the courage and the faith to release that. If it's something about somebody else or for somebody else, have the courage and faith to release that into their life. Okay? Because God really, really wants to do that. I'm going to teach Wednesday night on this, I feel like, unless the Lord changes it. If He does, that's cool. I really wanted to teach out of Joshua chapter 1 and chapter 4 about in a place of rest. And I want to just... I'm not even going to turn there. I just want to I want to just release two words out of this, and then we'll do some expository teaching on Wednesday night, and then we're going to pray and we're going to dismiss this morning. I feel like it just is kind of an impartation into you guys this morning, and then we're just going to go with that. In Joshua 1 and in Joshua 4, there's a couple things that take place. In Joshua 4, you know, this is the story of the children of Israel about to go into the promised land, okay? That's what this is, the children of Israel about to go into the promised land. And in Joshua 4, they set up two memorials. And one of those, they set up a memorial in the Jordan River on the dry riverbed when God's holding the waters back. And they set up a memorial in that. And they take 12 stones and they set them in there. And then they set up a memorial on the other bank on the Jordan. And that memorial on the other bank is 12 stones also. And these memorials, they represent a couple things to me. And I feel like Scripture bears it out. The stones that they set in the river are a memorial to the fact that God delivered them out of something. And then the stones that they set on the bank on the west side of the Jordan, that's a memorial that God was delivering them into something. So one was a deliverance out of something. One was a deliverance into something. He established memorials for that. I really want to challenge you right now as God is moving and stirring in all of our lives and doing just great things. Take the time to establish some memorials, some significant, this is, because the thing about the memorial, it's a declaration to God, an acknowledgement to God, it's recognizing God, say, God, I see what you're doing, I know what you're doing, and I'm building a memorial, an altar for that. So it's a declaration to God, a recognition to God, it's a declaration and a reminder to you, I don't want to forget what God's doing right now. I do not want to forget what God's doing right now. And it's a declaration to the world, and it's a declaration to our seed. Okay? It's a declaration to our seed. Because I want our children to know and understand, you know what, God brought me out of this, and God brought me into this, and this is what God's doing in my life. And there was a significant day. I want you to be able, Micah, to declare to your children and your grandchildren that in 2015, in 2016, God did just a renewal work in your life and just turned you into a new man, a new creature. I'm not saying when you got saved and when you didn't get saved, but I'm saying in the last 6 months you've turned into a new man. Build a memorial on that. Build a memorial on that, because there's power in your testimony, and it will be for your seed, and it will be for your generations, okay? That's significant. So that's just one thing I just want to release, is make sure you do that in this time of what God's doing. The second thing that I just want to throw out and release and hopefully impart into you is in Joshua 1, verses 13 through 16, there are 1.5 tribes that decided that they wanted to stay and dwell on the east side of the Jordan River. They didn't go all the way into the promised land, but they said, and I'm not going to talk on compromise. I'm not going to talk about being lukewarm or anything like that. The word said that that's what they wanted, and so God gave it to them. Joshua, when he went and talked to them, he said, this land that God gave you guys. So, you know, God will give us how deep we want to go. He desires for it to be all the way, but God will give us how deep we want to go. And he gave them this land on the east side, and he said, you've entered into your rest. In the word, throughout the word, he tells us to enter into his rest. And they had entered into their rest. And you know what that means? That means a settling place. A landing place where we're going to dwell and we're going to have, you know, habitate here. We're going to live here. We're going to be. This is our place. This is where God's established us. And so they entered into that, and it was good. They were content with that. And a lot of you guys, you are finding your place of rest in Him. That doesn't mean it's not without labor. It doesn't mean it's without doing the things that we're supposed to do. But you've entered into that place of rest. Me and Lori have entered just into a tremendous place of rest. You know, and it has nothing to do with checkbooks or anything like that. It's just a place of, you know what, God's planted us here, and we're loving this place. And it's almost like we've hit a plateau with Him. Not that there won't be a more of an ascent, but it's just a place of rest. It's a place of peace, of joy, of love. And I see that in a lot of you guys. A lot of you guys are coming into your own, I guess if I could say it like that. You know, and some of you don't see it, you're not there yet, but you see it on the horizon. And you're really excited about that. You are really excited about it. And that is awesome. But here's a word, and that's what God's wanting to do in this. But here's a word that I want to release to us that I feel like the Lord spoke to me. It's very, very important. Okay? T.W., when we enter into that place of our rest and God said, you're settling right here. Not settling in, settling for, but settling. I'm rooting you right here. And this is a place that's awesome. You know, I can look at you and Jamie and I just see that in you guys. And God just, y'all seem like you're doing really good spiritually and relationally and all of that stuff. And it's a place of awesome peace and it's a place of rest and all of that. But here's what he told them. He said, okay, guys. He said, God has allowed you to find your place of rest, and He's planted you in your place of rest. But He said, there are still 10.5 tribes that have not entered into theirs yet. So here's what I want you to do for them. I want you to go, and I want you to help labor and help fight so they can enter into their rest. Enjoy your rest. Know that this is a place of rest. Know that this is a place of I am settled in the Lord. I am content in the Lord. Man, it is awesome. And it's, guys, this is not a thing when you finally find the right mate and all of this stuff. You can be in a place of rest as a single 20, are you 24? Okay, I thought you were older than that. As a single 24-year-old man, you can enter into that place of rest. All right? And it'll change what it looks like as you get older and you get married and start having kids and all of that stuff. You can enter into that place and be in that place of rest. But even though that you're in that place of rest, you may be surrounded by people that have not entered into theirs yet. So the word for right now is enjoy where God's got you placed. Enjoy this place of resting in Him. Enjoy this place, this season of just the wonder and awe of who He is. But also know that you still have to contend for the brethren. So that's what I want to speak to you guys as Victory Fellowship Body this morning. We really don't have a lot of visitors here. Victory Fellowship Body, you're in a great place. Your family's in a great place. Beautiful family, kids that love the Lord and, not even saved yet and love the Lord already. I mean, that's just cool, man. That's the way it's supposed to be and everything. But also know as you look around, there are people that have not entered into that rest. And you have to war for them and contend for them. And that's what we see in this scripture here in Joshua. He said, guys, I'm giving you a charge, and God's given us a charge. And it's almost like if you want to maintain your place, you've got to do this or you'll be in danger of losing your place. So while... peace, this is good, I'm digging this, know that we still have to contend for those all around us. And it may look like contending for health. Amen? It may look like contending for health. It may look like contending for a financial breakthrough. It may look like contending for a relational breakthrough. It may look like contending for household salvation. It may look like contending for somebody that I don't even know, but I'm going to contend for the environment. Why do you think the Blake House is so impacted when they come into this place? Because y'all contend for the atmosphere here. You contend for this field. And I cannot tell you, I wish I could tell you all of the, I wish I would just had a little tape recorder and I could just, every time one of those guys comes up to me, that I could hit record and just play it back to y'all so that y'all could hear it. Because I have countless guys that come to me and they say, dude, every time I come into this place, I feel the presence of God. And that's usually on a Wednesday night. There's a bunch of them who came last Sunday and got saved and got baptized Wednesday. But usually that's a Wednesday night. And I have these guys and they say, man, we go to churches everywhere and all of that stuff. And that's not lifting up Victory. It's lifting up the atmosphere and the presence. It's lifting up His presence. And so part of that is contending for that, because here's what, if we're not careful, we'll get in the mindset, man, I'm in this great place of God, and I can worship God out on my back 40, and church, that's good, but I don't even like church or church people that much, and just let me just kind of be an island, and me and God got this thing going on and all that stuff. You're not contending for the others. And so I want to challenge you that our job, Brett, is to come in and contend for the atmosphere of this house, the presence of this house, for the people that come in, not just the people that are regular home folks that we know what's going on in their life, but for these guys that are going to come in every Wednesday night or the stranger that comes in off the streets. And as soon as you think you've got a victory, and we want to celebrate the victories, But I went from a baptism service Wednesday night that was awesome and powerful and glorious and what God was saying and doing to all of these guys to an hour-long counseling session. Immediately when I changed clothes, I immediately engaged in an hour-long counseling session with somebody that is still struggling with sin cycle. So I can't rest on my laurels and say, yay, God, those 15 guys got radically changed, and you spoke an awesome. I can say that, but you know what I have to do? It's like David. As soon as I wash the blood off of me and lift up the song and celebrate to Him, immediately I have to realize that there's a sword and shield still standing in the corner that requires my attention to contend for someone else. And so that's what I want to release in us today. It's a duality, all right? Rest in what He's doing. James, rest in this beautiful family you have. Rest in what God's doing in your children. Brent, rest in what God's doing in your children. How awesome it is, you know, that you've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and little niece Caroline, you know, 2, and they're all running around just praising Jesus and genuinely loving Jesus where they are in life. Celebrate that. But at the same time, there's a shield and a sword propped up right there, because on the heels of celebrating and resting in that, there's a frontline battle that needs to be fought for someone else and for this house. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. James, will you just come up and begin to play guitar? You know what? Where's Noah at? Noah, you come up and just start playing the guitar. You go back with your wife. Noah, when I looked at you, I saw Jeremy Riddle over there. And it's not just a physical appearance, because you are a tall, good-looking kid and all of that stuff, you know. And I know you're going to be a lady killer, you know, here shortly. We'll pray for purity, that the devil doesn't send any Jezebels. Amen, Kami. Nobody to try to seduce him, rob him of what God's got for him. But the thing about that cat is he has such a heart for presence of God above everything else. And you keep that. And you strive after that. And you long for that above everything else. Amen. Here's how I want us to, however God's stirring in you this morning, respond to that and say yes to that. I really want us as a body, though, you can go ahead and start playing, Noah. I really as a body want us to just really, really, really be intercessors. I shared Wednesday night what I feel like God's really about to do in our schools. And this isn't one of those, oh, you know, one of these days God's going to, there's going to be revival. It's here. And I believe that what we saw at the end of the school year last year was simply first fruits for what God's going to do this year. Girls, what y'all were seeing and experiencing last year at the end of the school year at Harrison County, it's going to blow up this coming year. It's going to blow up this coming year. It's going to blow up this coming year. And I just want us to intercede for that. I want us to contend for that. Amen. With a sword and a shield. And a lot of that's environment. A lot of that's presence. I want us to do that. And a lot of that means that I'm coming in and I'm contending for people that are going to help carry this thing. I wrote something down, and I just happened to go across one of my little notepads this week, but I wrote something down several months ago, and it said, this revival is going to be ushered in by the fathers, and it's going to be bore on the shoulders of the priest. Part of my responsibility is not necessarily, I may not step a foot in the halls of Harrelson County High School, but I have a twofold responsibility in the revival that I feel like is going to take place there. And part of that is creating an atmosphere in here where any of those kids, when they come, they experience God, encounter God. But the second thing of that is fathering a Nick White that is in those halls every day. So a lot of my responsibility and intercession for that is the health and the fire that burns in a Nick and Jamie White. Or Brent Kent. Because he'll be on the mat with those guys, wrestling with a bunch of them come about December. And he'll be teaching them more than how to reverse out of a takedown. He can be releasing presence. Virgil didn't father that. But yet Virgil did father that. You see what I'm saying? He didn't come out of Linda's womb. But he did come out of Linda's womb. So churches, we come and we intercede. And we contend. It is so layered and on so many levels. So I want us just as a body, let's just come to the altar and let's just begin to pray for. And this isn't just a Harrelson County. I feel like God's going to do something significant in Bremen too. I told you there's going to be a connection of the two. And a lot of the walls and a lot of the us against them and the hate and all that's going to get broke down. And God's going to really connect relationships in that. So I want us to come and I want us just to close the service in this way. This morning, if you don't know the Lord and you're like, man, God is just wrecking my world and just drawing me, say yes to Him this morning. I will pray with you. Any of these guys on the front row right here can pray with you. If you're a young guy, grab Micah. He'll pray with you. Grab Robin. She's on the front. Brett, Aaliyah, Rhett, Errol. Grab some of these. And just if you have a specific need of prayer, not just salvation, but a specific need of prayer, get one of these guys down here. Get one of these guys and say, man, pray with me about this. Join with somebody and come in agreement with somebody on the thing that's just so burdening your heart. So I want to challenge you to do that. Lori, I see you got that open. You want to say something? All right.
Just a little something to tag on what he's talking about, the spirit of prophecy and how we can use that as a church. It's not just, it's for everybody. Yes. This is for everybody. It's for our homes. It's for our schools. It's for everywhere. And in 1 Corinthians, I'll back that up. I'm not just making it up. It says, follow after love and spiritual gifts, but rather mostly that you may prophesy. And he was speaking to the church. So it's for everybody. And then he tells us why. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. We live in a world where everybody, I was telling Terry, we just passed a guy and he flipped us off. Just little things. We live in a world where everything in the media is negative, 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 negative. And that drains into our heart. It drains into our spirit. It becomes that when we start thinking about it, if you're having trouble at home in your marriage, maybe it's the negative things that we're feeding our mind with, and then we start to see our spouse in that negative way. And one way we can prophesy, the book I'm reading, I'm teaching us how to prophesy, is just to become an encourager. Start seeing the good in others. Pray in the morning when you wake up, Father, let me see my husband, let me see my wife as you see them today. And you won't think negative things over them that day. And when you start walking in that, maybe, just maybe, they might start walking in that. There's marriage counseling one-on-one, bam, right there. That'll help you this week, right there. But then take it out when we see our sisters and our brothers, the girl at the gas station, the waitress who's rude. We don't know what life, we don't know what she went through that day and had a hellacious day. And she just needs somebody to say, I see you. You're doing a good job. Do you know that's the spirit of prophecy? We make it this big, huge thing. And that is the spirit of prophecy. It's kindness and love and support And it's a community is what we're trying to grow here and spread out amongst us. So say in your heart, Lord, sometimes I feed on the negative. Maybe I need to lay that down today. Maybe I need to lay it down. Maybe I need to stop seeing with a critical eye and I need to start seeing with your eye. Help us, Father, to take that out then to our homes, to our kids, to our friends, to the guy, crazy driver, you know, just spread this out, people. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
Amen. Here's how I just feel like the Lord spoke. We're supposed to do this is everybody partner up with somebody, and it doesn't have to be two. It can be a group of three. But everybody get with somebody right now and get with somebody that it besides your spouse, because, you know, hopefully y'all spend a lot of time together in prayer and different things. So just grab somebody besides your spouse and let's just begin to pray about the things that are pressing in your heart right now. If it's intercession for somebody, then let's agree together on that. If it's a need in your life, let's agree together on that, okay? Whatever the Lord brings up, let's do that, okay? I'm going to get with Virgil Lennon. We're going to pray for physical healing over Virgil, just wholeness and completeness and all of that. So if you want to come down here, that's great. If you want to bunch up where you are out there, let's do that, okay? Let's just go ahead. Go ahead now, guys. Go ahead. Grab somebody. Don't be passive. Grab somebody.